Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
I said we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
That's where... Shut up!
Cram it!
Shut up right now!
For
God's
sake!
I swear that I will go with
you!
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. To another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. And it's time for us to talk about all the political things. But let me start by saying I was a real fucking whining child in the last podcast. And I apologize. I was not being professional. And I let my feelings get the best of me. And I apologize to you and to you and you you.
I did not find that unprofessional. I found it honest and... You know, I thought we had a good conversation about it, but...
All right.
You know.
Well, I felt a little embarrassed about tweeting the podcast once it was up. And then once it was tweeted, people said very nice things to me. Like, all 16 of our listeners said very nice things.
Came together in unison.
A couple sent some public tweets, but a couple people just sent me some DMs that were like, yo, dog, I got you.
And yeah.
It was really nice.
Well, that is good.
Which I appreciated. Yeah. Only one, like, whining.
Really? Oh. Yeah. We don't like that person.
And that person tagged you, but they misspelled your name.
So you Rox Horpke.
But it was like Hopckey.
The podcast should really just be Guth and other person on politics.
That one dude. It was like Hopckey.
Nice.
Hopckey.
Hopckey. I answer to many things.
So. My aunt was so excited when she got married. She married someone with a really common last name of Hughes. That's easy enough, right? Mm-hmm. So she was so excited to get rid of Guth because no one can say that. I can't imagine ever wanting to jettison that fine name, but nonetheless, that was what she wanted to do. And so she was so excited and... And then she was at the dentist shortly after getting married. And you know, they called her to the back when it was her turn, and they called her a Hughes. And she was like, God damn it.
Hughes?
That's my phone ringing. And if you'll notice, it's the Taxi theme song.
Oh, nice.
Yet another time.
Things just got...
I have forgotten to turn off my phone.
Very 70s or / 80s in here.
It was mostly 70s.
Yeah,
it's a fine show.
Oh, Taxi's a great show.
Man, that was a good show.
Yeah.
And so every time I hear that ringtone, I'm like, it makes me so glad. Also, no one ever calls me except for just now, that one person. So anyway, so we got some Hillary to talk about. We got some DOJ, which I always want to say like it's a little more street than it is.
A rap name.
Yeah.
D to the O to the J. The new DOJ album dropped today.
Right. So we got a little of that to talk about. I'm going to cross off whining and tweets and nice people from my list of things to talk about. I talked about that.
It's enough nice people.
What's about, which would you like to start with?
How about not nice people? Which
Great. Can you be more specific?
Yeah, it's a very wide ocean that you could put all that in. I guess it... I mean, the more timely thing right now is the DOJ, but let's talk about Hillary, I think, because this has just been, I'm just so flummoxed by this, you know, so she's got her book out and she's going on a book tour and everybody who has always hated her and even some people who maybe don't hate her are telling her that she should shut up and go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it in terms of it being sexist and that's the way a lot of people roll, but it's not all men. you know, that are saying this. There's a lot of I've heard of, you know, a lot of women, you know, especially on the kind of Bernie supporter side and certainly on the conservative side. And I don't really get that. I mean, if you don't want to hear what Hillary has to say, you are more than welcome to not read the book or not pay attention to any of the interviews. But and honestly, I don't plan on reading the book myself. I did not because I, you know, have anything against her. Just it's not really high on my list of things that I feel like reading at the moment, since I feel like I lived that damn election anyway. But, you know, I think what the hell? Like, why is nobody telling Bernie Sanders he should go away? You know, I mean, like he's out there today, you know, introducing a universal healthcare plan, which I applaud and would like to see. But at the same time, I mean, he lost too. You know what I mean? Like he did, like what is the standard here? And it's just ridiculous to me. And it's been bothering me all week.
And in your mind, it's about gender?
I think it's pretty. Look, we talked about this. I believe I've said this before, maybe several times on here. That long before the campaign began, I started to notice the sort of backlash I would get anytime I mentioned Hillary Clinton in a column, and that worried me. Because it was unlike anything I had seen, including the hatred towards Obama, which obviously was already very high. I mean, the dislike of her is so baked in for so many people. And I think the root of it is absolutely, it's based in sexism. It's rooted in sexism. But there's also just some other elements that people just don't like. I mean, they just don't like her. And I don't know quite why. I don't feel like it's all just absolutely without question sexism, but I think that is the predominant driver of it and always has been, because she's been out there doing things that, you know, a woman's not supposed to be doing or whatever, you know, from the sexist viewpoint. It baffles me, because even while I don't, you know, look, I've never claimed to be a giant Hillary Clinton fan. I think, but I respect her. I think she's, as I've said many times before, she would have been a immensely qualified and good president, I believe. But, you know, there's a lot of things she's done that, I think are self-inflicted wounds. And just, I think there's an arrogance about not just her, but about the Clintons in general and blah, blah, blah. But regardless, I don't get the hatred. I just don't get it. And we're seeing it again now with this book and with this, to me, ridiculous idea that the first major party female candidate for president shouldn't write a damn book and go out and talk about her experience after it's over.
The look on your face just now was like, and blah, scene.
Blah. Blah. And now, to be a complete cliche, I'm taking a sip of Perrier.
If only you could do that out of a martini glass with exactly. Your pinky up.
Yes.
So there's a piece. It is written by a professor here at Loyola Chicago named Melissa Bradshaw. She wrote a piece for Ms. Magazine called We Don't Need Another Diva. Mm-hmm. She studies kind of the archetype of the powerful woman. I recommend, again, it's called We Don't Need Another Diva. If you Google her name and that piece, or just go Melissa Bradshaw, Hillary, Ms., you'll find it, or Diva even. It is a really, really excellent piece, but she talks about, I think there are, I too, like, have my issues with Hillary, but she talks about there are some specific things that are threatening about Hillary to a lot of people. And in particular, she's talking about women and men that are pretty well indoctrinated into patriarchal kind of thinking. And the reason, I mean, I too was very fascinated why women, I mean, I understood why women on the middle to far left did not like Hillary. I didn't understand as much why women, moderate Republican women and fairly center Democrats, had the issues that they did, because most of them were fairly emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think one issue for Hillary is that she's always been very threatening to choices women have made in their lives, particularly women who maybe didn't feel like they had certain choices, like how much she fought to not change her last name to Clinton, mm-hmm. for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I think at the time, I think so women her age, that was Hell, now that's even still fairly controversial. You know, even now, if you get married and don't, if you get married to a man and you do not change your last name, people are going to question you. People are going to address mail to you anyway with that name. I mean, still, you know, still it is assumed. People are going to say cutesy things like, oh, Mr. or Mrs. Smith or whatever. When, like, I know tons of women that have been like, no, I'm serious. This is my name. Fuck off.
Right.
Seriously. And so even now that's a controversial choice. So imagine at the time in which she got married, I think that's threatening because she, I think in the mind of some people, she took the liberation path that some people maybe wrestled with.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you didn't choose that, and even if you did choose to take your husband's last name, like here's someone who represents a choice you had and didn't make. And maybe if you were like ambivalent about it, it's sometimes easier to do the status quo thing where you're like, I don't really care one or the other. I'll just take his name. I don't care. Then suddenly here's this person who's thought a lot about it.
Right.
And then add in the cookies comment that, you know, that she made in the 90s, I think. Was that like 93-ish?
Yeah,
maybe?
It must have been. It was in his term.
When she was talking about baking cookies, that was infuriating to so many women because, it reflected like I took a less obvious path and choice. And it, I think, was so threatening. And I think that's what women have against her. Like, not entirely, but I think that's one thing that a lot of women even have trouble admitting that they have against her. So I think there's that. And then, so that's talked about a lot in that piece, We Don't Need Another Diva, so which I think is really worth reading no matter how you voted. I think it's just a compelling read because it even talks about why almost in the narrative, in the psyche, she needed to lose the election, and even like why we were so fascinated with like Whitney Houston's death and Anna Nicole Smith. And like anytime we have this powerful or brighter than, you know, bigger than life kind of figure, we almost delight in their demise. Or if we don't delight in it, we kind of can't get enough of it. We can't stop kicking, you know, at the thing.
All right.
So there's that. But then to move to the other piece, I think a lot of people, of all genders, there is the gender piece, and I do think she was not talked about in the same way that her male colleagues were. But I do think there's an elitist piece that we don't talk about enough. I mean, at the end of the day, the Clintons have a shitload of money and a shitload of power, and with that comes, you know, whether you abuse it or not, I think there's an assumption that you have or you do, right? I think we have this idea that, like, poverty is more pious and trustworthy, I'm going to make a distinction. Let's not say poverty, let's say like modest living, because there is like plenty of people that demonize the poor.
Right.
So I think there is like the elitist piece that I think is the same kind of hatred that, if the hatred against Obama wasn't racist, it was about elitism.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So there's that part.
Yeah. Although she was against, you know, Mr. Rich guy. So you'd think that would have canceled each other.
Mr. Rich guy.
That would have canceled each other out somewhat, but no. Somehow he managed to con people into seeing him as...
Because he had that, I'm real talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which is just crazy. Guy's never mowed a lawn in his life, I'm sure. So.
Right. The struggle is real there, Donald Trump. I'm sure it's really hard for you.
Right. Yeah.
I want to add something about him because... I found the way that he dealt with all the hurricanes fucking appalling, I would just like to say. He really does have something up with his empathy.
He has no empathy. That's what's up with it. I mean, there's just zero. I honestly believe that.
He said the shit to people like you'd say if you were putting your children in a fucking log ride.
Right.
Like, be careful.
Yeah, right.
Good luck out there.
Everything's going great here. Have fun.
It's going great. Crowds are huge. It's fine. You guys have a good time at camp.
Yeah. Right. And you know, his focus has been all on the first responders, on the Coast Guard. He's especially had like a serious...
I think he just learned they exist.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's like
so
super into
the Coast
Guard. And God bless the Coast Guard. I mean, and God, all the first responders. I mean, honestly, I think your first statement, to have your first statement be praising that, way to go.
That's great. But also...
But then you follow it up with, and my heart goes out to all of these... people, and you cite a couple personal examples, and you know what I mean, like that. The survivors, the people who died, all of that, all of those people were predominantly forgotten in terms of his comments.
Oh yeah.
And also another thing that got overlooked was Mexico's earthquake, which was catastrophic as well.
Well, he didn't give a shit about Mexico.
He never said a word about
it. No, of course not.
Or a tweet or anything.
No.
And they, in turn, out of necessity, I think, because they had to deal with their own problem all of a sudden, but also out of kind of offense at that, they rescinded their offer to help with Harvey.
Right.
Recovery. So, I mean, you know, even that, you're just like, how do you... It doesn't take much, man. I mean, that, you know, he can sit there and fire off six stupid-ass tweets about how the Republicans are out to get him or something.
Right.
And then, but he can't, you know...
I mean, I don't know how a human being could look at some of those photos and not be moved by them.
No.
I mean, there's one photo in particular that I cannot stop thinking about, and that is in the U.S. Virgin Islands. It's this strip of these very old, beautiful buildings. It's essentially, I mean, it's a street. So you're looking at these beautiful old buildings on each side that in, you know, in a time that's not on the heels of a disaster, it would be beautiful tropical colors with, you know, when we think about that kind of old Caribbean architecture, this is very beautiful. And then there's people standing out in the street in about waist high water, just all looking the same direction, just kind of like, fuck, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, you can just see this, like, holy shit kind of look on everyone's face.
Right.
And it's such a powerful picture. And I cannot stop thinking about that one photograph. And it makes me, like, I don't, I mean, I'm happy to hear when very wealthy people say I'm, you know, when they get out the checkbooks and just write checks. I'm happier when they do it. It's fine if they feel like they need to announce doing so, whatever. Just do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how a human being can look at other human beings in that kind of peril and not think, holy shit, we have to do something right now. And to just be like, fuck yeah, Coast Guard, which again, yeah, you're right. Fuck yeah, Coast Guard. But also, I don't think the Coast Guard is going, fuck yeah, we're kicking ass now.
No,
like, no. They're just going like,
our
we
brand
gotta-
looks great. It's like, come on, man. I mean, honestly, and that's the thing. And that's where the thing with him that what I don't understand is how any person with even a modicum of common sense even can look at him and not say that there is psychologically there is something off.
Yeah.
I mean, that regular people are not devoid of empathy. That is irregular. That is weird. And it is disturbing. And to have somebody in that position of power who is incapable of feeling for other people is just, it's weird. I mean, did you see the 9/11 video that they put out on, he tweeted out a 9/11 video, said, you know, something perfectly nice at the beginning about remember, but the video, he's in every damn shot. It's just like 40 seconds of him at the ceremony. And I'm like, it's not about you,
it's
man.
About
I mean,
you.
Like, come on. Like, that's insane.
Here I am
as
showing
I,
that I have feelings.
Right. As I say with, as I say almost every 5 minutes now, imagine if Barack Obama had put out a video on 9/11 that was just him and Michelle looking like somber, and you know, people would have flipped their wigs over that. I mean, they would have had it would have been, you know, wall to wall coverage for 18 weeks. Or so it's just it again.
I feel like
though,
we had a 2 week news cycle of the time that like there was a photo that like three people were standing there with their hands over their hearts to say the pledge and like Obama's hand wasn't there yet.
Yeah,
I feel like we had 2 weeks about him, whether or not he was some kind of, you know, traitor.
And he wore a khaki suit one time and everybody just about crapped their pants. It was like, bah!
Right. And like one time his American flag lapel pin was,
was
like skewed a little bit. So everybody was like, well, see, there it is.
Tyranny. So it's just, I mean, come on. It's weird. It's very weird. I don't like it. I would like it to stop.
I would like it to stop. But seriously, we are in a very perilous time, weather-wise. Mm. On Saturday evening on the Saturday Night Special, I devoted the show to talking about weather and climate. And I had very smart people on the show to talk about that. Not just hurricanes. I also had the former spokesperson, the 35-year spokesperson for the National Park Service. She had she was on to talk about the wildfires because there's, you know, I get it. We have massive storms barreling down on our coast. We have to like hold up. We'll be right back for headlines.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, newsrooms are really tiny and you can only cover so much. So you have to kind of juggle those things. But like the fires from pretty much everywhere west of the Mississippi, there are major fires happening, water supplies that are being compromised as a result. I mean, there's a lot to it, and resources are stretched thin there. And then we have so much coastal damage and Caribbean damage. There's been a lot of shit on social media about not talking about the Caribbean. And I want to kind of underline that a little bit. Indeed, sometimes people were talking about Florida in a more essential way than the Caribbean. But on some level, I think we have to look at it literally sentence by sentence, because sometimes, like the Weather Channel was saying, the Weather Channel is dealing with what is happening in the next couple of hours. They're a news bureau just focusing on weather. They're not talking about economic recovery.
Sure.
So people were like, the Weather Channel's not even talking about all the things that have happened in the Caribbean. It's like, well, they've mentioned it, but they're not focusing on it because they're trying to save your life right now. Like,
yeah.
They're just trying to give you information. In some cases, I did see a couple of examples where I heard it. I understood, you know, I was like, well, gosh, that person is talking a lot about Florida. But in fairness, like there are potentially more casualties to happen in Florida. Not that any casualty, you know, I'm not valuing one human being over another. I'm just saying, you know, death is death. But indeed, if you're talking about a major population center, like when we thought it was going to hit Miami, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal that it hit islands, and it will take years to recover, and that death toll keeps going up in islands. There's also the fact that when we talk about relief aid, some organizations can participate internationally, but most of them, like the U.S. relief aid, can go to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands,
right,
and not. Like, it can't do anything really for St. Martin.
Yeah, right.
And that's where I saw the most angst happening. A lot of people were like tweeting at Trump talking about, well, fuck you, what about St. Martin and Anguilla? And it's like, well, I mean, we can lend aid to, you know, we could go to like St. Martin. We could say to French and Dutch officials, hi, the U.S. is willing to help with the recovery there. But also, you know, Our parts of funding cover U.S. stuff, and so we have to deal with that. So I don't know. I just want to mention that because there was not as much discussion on social media about the Caribbean, but also that kicked up in between as Irma was leaving the Caribbean and going into Florida.
Right.
So I think there's some degree of you have to look at what, like, give it a second. We have to see what happens.
Sure.
It could wipe out a third of the state. And then we can talk about the whole death toll, and we can talk about each nation who has a stake in the Caribbean. We have to talk about that. And again, I'm not saying Caribbean lives are less valuable than American ones, or that, you know, non-American Caribbean lives are less valuable. And, you know, there's people saying, oh, these American tourists were evacuated first. I don't know about that.
Right.
I wasn't there. I don't know about that. But I want to be careful the way we talk about the Caribbean, because if it is about funding, for the most part, you do have a responsibility to just deal with your swath of land there.
Yeah.
Not.
Right. Well, and honestly, I mean, from a journalism standpoint, news organizations have to make decisions and be pragmatic about
right.
what they're covering. And frankly, you know, a U.S. news organization is going to be more focused on main parts of the United States.
Yes.
And again, I would add. And that's not to, again, like you said, that's not to delegitimize somehow the U.S. Virgin, you know, any other area, whether it's a U.S. territory or not. But, I mean, this is why when, you know, something happens in Rhode Island, it might not get as much attention as if the same thing happened in New York City.
Like, right. I saw somebody say this perfectly. It was you just now. No, she said, it would be as if, you know, say that an explosion happened in a very small rural town far from a major metro area. And at the same exact second, an explosion happened in New York City.
Right.
By virtue of population and what is there, what could potentially, like, it's just going to get more attention because there's probably more dead people attached to the New York City one.
Right.
Both of which are tragic, both of which are unfortunate, but nonetheless, you probably have more loss of life and stuff in New York City.
The 9/11 coverage ranked without question New York City, DC, and then Flight 93 in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, and for the exact same reasons.
Right.
That doesn't mean that, you know, news organizations were trying to say that New York City people mattered more than people at the Pentagon versus people on the plane that went down. And, you know, I mean
there's something about size and newsworthiness is ranked often by size.
Right. And people just want, but, you know, people want, I mean, what matters to the individual is what the individual is going to think the media should be focusing on, the journalists should be focusing on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's just kind of, that's always the case, whether it's a natural disaster or even something small and not seemingly not that significant.
Right.
You know, so. I don't know. There's not much we can do about that.
There is not much we can do about that. There is a long road ahead. Well, and I would say this too. There are Caribbean resources. Like if you are a reporter in the Caribbean, you might not have gotten much out yet.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not.
Like people are still digging out, literally digging out of rubble
there. Power.
There's no power.
Right.
There's very limited power. There's a little bit, but not much. You know, internet is not going to be like the highest priority when people don't have power or running water.
Mm-hmm.
That's life-saving stuff in a very hot climate. You need power. You need lights. There's a major food shortage happening in many parts of the Caribbean. Like you have to meet some basic needs first. And there's even some officials that like it took several days to even hear from. Like I think there were some officials from Barbuda who were flying over other islands just to see like, hey, is anybody there? Everything like just there were just hours and hours where just we weren't hearing from anybody. So
right.
There's that too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I mean, nothing's going to be perfect. But again, I just think in a disaster of that size, everybody's doing their best, but it's chaos every time.
Sure. Yeah. You see this happen with, you know, there's been civil war situations or, you know, incidents of ethnic cleansing happening in certain countries and stuff where people say, why is the media downplaying this? And it's the fact is that a lot of times these things happen in places where journalists can't get to.
Right.
And we can't report on what we can't see and
right.
validate.
We can say the so-and-so press gazette said,
right.
But we can't say, like, if I'm not there, and I think people misunderstand that, but like, I can't report on what I'm not personally viewing.
Correct. Right. So.
And I think, like, people do that shit to us all the time. I see people send that to you. I see people send that to me that are just like, hey, here's my blog post in which I'm reporting on something that happened in Kabul. It's like, well, you're not in Kabul. You're in Kenosha.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the fuck do you know about Kabul right now?
That's a real, yeah, that's a definite, another media literacy issue is just understanding what we can. And so there have been huge tragedies that, it's not that they've
gone.
I mean,
we're talking about this right now in the UN. Like there's ethnic cleansing happening right now.
Right. And it's not that it's being ignored so much as it's very hard to get information, and it's hard to get. It's not like you can just walk in with a notepad.
Right. And
tell me about the ethnic cleansing you're doing right now.
Hey, so how's that whole thing going?
Yes.
Yeah.
How is your cleansing of the ethnics, sir? that's terrible to make light of, but you know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't work. And,
right.
And you know, when you can't get there and you can't, it's hard to, give wall-to-wall coverage because.
Right. And if you have like one or two reporters, it's like stuff will get out as it can. But sometimes you have to also take into consideration where it is and how much control that country has over its press sources.
Sure.
Because sometimes someone could literally be murdered or jailed forever for saying something anti-government.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Or something like that. So sometimes you can't get to it. I mean, I can all day long say that this publication's reporter who is there talking to people exiting the country is saying this, but I can't say for sure until I am personally there also talking to members who are exiting the country as well as government officials.
Right. Yeah.
And even then I can only say so-and-so official said the following to me.
Right.
So-and-so refugee said the following to me. I mean, something that large, it's very difficult to put a fine pin on it and say this is definitively what is happening. You have to say this is what this person said.
Right.
You have to do that for such a long time that it's frustrating. Sometimes I think sometimes people get so mad at us because it's like, why can't you just call that what it is? It's like, well,
because we don't know.
We don't, you know, like it looks like it, but I can't say.
Right. Yeah.
Dateline, so-and-so place. It appears to be the case that so-and-so is doing the following.
Sure.
Like, right. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
People are blowing up my phone. What's happening?
Do you want to pivot to the person who I accidentally referred to as Hera Huckabee Sanders?
Which is great.
Hera Huckabee Flanders.
Yeah.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And by the
Stupid
way, wait.
Flanders.
I think this is funny. Maybe it's not. It's by, this is a tweet from Molly Knight, who's an author. She tweeted a photo of Sarah Huckabee Sanders and said, "Sarah Huckabee Sanders always looks like she spent her lunch break making a Talbot sales girl cry."
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's perfect.
I cannot tweet that, but Molly Knight certainly can, and it's very funny. But so what's happened yesterday and now has happened again today is that the press secretary for the White House is actively encouraging the Department of Justice to prosecute James Comey, former FBI director James Comey, and who happens to obviously be a key witness in the Robert Mueller investigation.
Right.
Into I mean, it's a, so I'm not an expert on all the rules of government, but I'm pretty sure that you're not supposed to, that the executive branch is not supposed to pressure the judicial branch to go and intimidate a witness.
I mean, I'm no president here, but I'm pretty sure.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely outrageous. And what's more outrageous is that she did it yesterday, and instead of coming out today and saying, whoa, that was out of line, she doubled down and is like basically building a case for this. And let me tell you, at the risk of insulting the intelligence of anybody in the Trump administration, I would guess that James Comey is probably smart enough to not be very worried about anything right now, given that he's dealing with complete dunderheads. I mean, I guess I do mean to insult their intelligence.
I was going to say, that's a really strange caveat to put on that one.
Sorry. I totally
call
mean
it what
to,
it is.
I totally mean to insult their intelligence. Because honestly, like, I mean, look, if James Comey did something wrong or illegal, then absolutely prosecute him. Fine. But the executive branch can't be telling the Department of Justice to go after some guy, particularly when that guy is a key figure in an investigation into the damn president. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the fact that, again, that any Republicans or anybody that actually cares about the way our system of government is established, that they don't say something, they just let this... I mean, this is not even made... This is like... it's not even news, hardly. Like, everybody's just kind of like, oh, they did... There's other... I mean, I know there's a lot going on right now, but that is a big, big deal. I mean, that is really messed up.
It is. And that's another thing I think that is an important thing to look at, because it's difficult and unprecedented. When something outrageous happens, it's very difficult to report about it because you can't really say the word outrageous. You can't say, what the fuck is that? You know, you have to, you know. So I was admiring earlier the restraint that The Hill used when they were describing the situation. They said, it is unusual for the White House to advise the Justice Department on what cases to examine. Sanders said that she's, quote, not here to ever direct DOJ into actions. And I mean,
bull crap.
That's right, but you did.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not here to punch you.
Right, I mean, that's exactly. It's absolutely bonkers.
Right, and so I liked the. It is unusual.
Yes,
to,
yes. It is.
That's admirable restraint
quirky.
For The Hill.
Yeah, seriously, because I mean, the Mueller has to be getting close to something.
Oh, yeah.
There's no other explanation,
because
this came kind of out of nowhere, really. The sort of getting back to Comey. And bad-mouthing him and now saying he should be prosecuted. But it's like, okay. Again, I don't have a, you know, horse in the race as far as Comey goes. I don't, you know, I mean, there are, I mean, frankly, Hillary Clinton's out bad-mouthing Comey right now, too, because of, you know.
It's like a big, it's just like this big political slap fight.
Which, honestly, the more I see of that, the more I think that he's actually... Right.
Which he are we talking about right
I'm
now?
I'm sorry, James Comey.
Yes.
Because if everybody hates you in that sense, you may be as a
you
as
might
a,
be the one holding the
as a law
the
enforcement
key.
Person, yeah. You may have actually done things correctly because.
But you had your doubts about him initially, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I never like I wasn't
playback the tape.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't remember what I said 5 minutes ago, much less 6 months.
And as we've said many times, we've been wrong about everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Every prediction we've tried to make, wrong as shit. So
everything I say is worthless.
And then let's add in that, like, Bannon's 60 Minutes interview.
Oh, God.
In which he called Comey's firing the biggest mistake in modern political history. I don't know. The biggest?
If that's the case, your guy is in big trouble, Mr. Bannon.
Right. Right. So there was that. That was a bizarre.
Oh, I described him as a skin sack filled with drunken ants.
What is that? Ew. That creeps me out very much. But yes.
He is if you want to get on that topic for just a second, he has no damn business getting a platform.
Bannon.
To spout his crap. I was disgusted with 60 Minutes for doing that. Charlie Rose did a reasonably decent job of holding him to, you know, of not accepting everything at face value, but still, come on. I mean, that guy, who is that guy? I mean, he's absolute garbage. I mean, you know, he runs a white nationalist website.
And
that's
pretty much
his
His and
cachet.
I often, like, bristle when people are like, don't give that person a platform, because I think it's important to put people on the record. But I think in his case, he got the wrong platform, not wrong place, but was treated like a political.
Yeah, it wasn't like an hour. I mean, it was almost the whole.
It was long. Yeah,
it was really long. I mean, interview him.
As you would the editor of any other fucking niche publication.
Yeah. And then, you know, put together a piece that, but you know, you don't want to just give him time to say all this crap about immigrants and how the country was built. I mean, he made no sense half the time. I mean, he was using.
Well, I didn't expect him to.
Right. Well, but I mean, he's, you know, and then you saw, of course, immediately afterwards, a lot of historians were writing pieces and commenting on it about just how he's kind of scrambling. He's not a dumb guy. I mean, he's educated. He's just, so he, and that I think is dangerous. I mean, I think if Trump was smart, Trump would be insanely dangerous. And I think Bannon is smart, and that makes him dangerous because he's able to make, like, historically loosely based historical arguments about the way things should work and make them sound right, even when they're not. So
I think smart is a strong word.
Educated.
Let's say he has a lot of access to information, and he has a lot of information, and he's extremely manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you have to be smart to do that, I'm on the fence on that.
Okay. We can call him whatever
I'm
you
splitting
want.
Hairs at this point.
Yeah,
but like,
I'll call him dumb as a turd if you want. I don't really give.
I'd love that, actually. That'd be great.
But that whole thing just, it's like,
extremely manipulative.
Yeah, no,
dangerously manipulative. Yeah, I thought it was like the platform you would give, or not the platform, the space you would give to a much more significant figure. Like, if I had the opportunity to interview him today, I'd probably be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
If it was one of those, like, for whatever reason, he was just going to be like busting in the studio right now, I would probably make a point to be like, to give him the shortest and most disrespectful interview.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It would just be nothing that I could be held to. Like, I wouldn't be a shithead about it,
right.
But I'd just be like, so you wrote a book.
Your name again?
You're running, Mr. Benon.
Steve Bonin.
you run a publication, is that right? And how do you say that's not a white nationalist publication? Okay, thanks so much for being with us. Like, it'd be so fast.
What is the name of your blog?
Is that zanga.blogspot.what? Like, I don't know. I would just, like, I don't know. I probably wouldn't bother, honestly, because there's nothing he's going to. Here's the reason to interview somebody like him. To put him on record as talking about. So that you're the one that got him to say something on record. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to get anything new out of that dirtbag.
No.
Unless I go like, hi there, Amy Guth, Jew, come at me.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. What you got?
What you going to say now? But even then, I mean, he finds ways to, you know, polish his own turd. So he's using the word turd with him.
My
mind. and that's, again, that's the problem with people like that, is that they can seem respectable. And that's what's so dangerous. I mean, that's
right. Because, like, then people go, oh, yeah, you don't see.
You know, I mean, a Klan guy wearing a hood is scary. A Klan guy not wearing a hood, dressed in a suit and working at a corporation and nobody realizes it is damn scary.
Damn scary.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you need to really be concerned. Is so. And that's what he is.
That's the guy who makes the office holiday party real weird.
Yes, exactly.
Shit got weird.
So no on the menorah, I guess.
I brought latkes. Yeah. Who wants? Okay.
Anyway, but the yeah the Comey stuff is just bizarre, and I mean, also the, I mean, really, when you sit back and kind of look at the complete lack of any form of cohesive strategy on Trump's, I mean, he's just stepped on his own dick 85 times.
what did you just say? Oh, Jesus, I think in pictures, and I never, ever, I made the mistake of thinking at the inauguration, I was like, that dance they had was so terrible. I was like, oh, man, you know he's a terrible lay, because, like, look at what a shitty dancer he is. And then I was like, oh, my God, I just made that picture in my head. And then I was like, never think anything like that again. And even when people would be like, small hands, you know what that means? I'd be like, nope. But that hupkey was too far.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
I apologize.
Although it's funny to think of it. He couldn't step on it if it's a little bitty hands thing.
That's a good point. I guess it was a ridiculous thing to say on top of being offensive.
He fucked some shit up.
Yeah, he's created, thank you. Yes, he's created these problems almost entirely for himself and by himself. And he
everything
continues,
is sloppily handled. Yeah. And yeah.
But then I thought you talk about... Talk about high-level sexism, though. I tweeted something about Sarah Huckabee Sanders today and what she's saying and how, you know, this should be a huge story. This is ridiculous that it's not more of a scandal that they're directing the DOJ. And somebody said, well, she's probably just basically tried to blame her for the first. And I'm like, she's just, you know, trying to, you know, like, make a name for herself and blah blah blah. So basically what they were doing was blaming her for the, I mean, she's absolutely being forced to say these things. This is not
that's
coming,
the definition of your job,
right? This is not coming from her, but so they were trying to put the blame on the woman in the picture. I'm like, no. I don't like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but this is not, I mean, well, and she could, perhaps she is somehow you know, could get pulled into the whole thing because she is saying it, but this isn't her being like, I think a good thing for me to say right now would be that they should arrest James Comey.
Right.
Anyway, I just.
Sidebar, have you seen the Vice video of former Mexican president?
Oh, yeah, that was so good. Oh, my God. That was like,
oh, my God.
It was one of the best things I've ever, this is the Vicente Fox, the former president of Mexico, doing like a 5-minute bit,
oh God,
saying that he should run for president.
It is so hilarious.
And making fun and just going
swearing
after,
and going nuts
after
it's
Donald Trump.
So funny.
It is, well, just Google Vice Vicente Fox Trump or something like that and you'll get there. It is so, I tweeted.
And it's so well done. It's on Vice.
Yeah.
And
I tweeted that link a couple of days ago. I was like, this is better than The Wire. This is a great piece of work here. It was just fantastic.
It's brilliant. And it closes with, like, he has a mariachi band come out and sing this song. Yeah,
it's so funny. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's very good. Yeah. I'm trying to pull it up right now and play a little bit of it because it is damn funny.
When I saw that it was 5 minutes, I was like, oh, this is going to drag. But
I know.
Does
I was
not,
like, oh, this is going to be boring.
It does not at all. It is. I could have watched it for a half hour if they could have kept going. And, man, is he good, too? He's a great, like, straight
he's
man.
He's funny.
You know, he's funny as hell. So, yeah, that's well worth anybody's time.
He's just and if you go to YouTube and just punch that in, there's so much shit on there that's so fucking hilarious and wrong.
There was also a great video. I don't know who did the video, but InfoWars was like interviewing a kid.
Oh,
and
she
kid's
was
like,
fuck
you.
and he said something and like, who taught you that? My mom.
Yeah.
This little girl who just looks so sweet and angelic. She was like, no, motherfucker.
It was
no,
awesome.
She wasn't having it. I loved that.
But then the guy who was doing it is like, I saw some video today where he's like back on the InfoWars set, you know, in downtown Crazy Town or wherever they do that. And he's with Alex Jones and he starts to read from scripture because he's so upset about that little girl telling him off. And, you know, I was like, oh my God. What a wacko universe that bunch inhabits. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's super crazy. I'm still trying to find this video because it's so funny.
But that child was my hero.
Here we go.
Rotting Halloween pumpkin. Donald, every time I make fun of you, which I do a lot, people say, why can't you be our president? America, I feel your pain. We all do. And that is why today I'm proud to announce my candidacy for president of the United States.
And he goes on to, like, a dude walks a goat out that just says Vicente for President Day.
It is fantastic.
He is, I mean, he's been trolling him since day one.
Yeah, mercilessly.
Mercilessly. Yeah. His that Twitter account is so funny because he will just, like, poke at him. I swear he gets up in the middle of the night just to see if Trump has tweeted something.
Yeah, I think so.
And he, I mean, one of the first things I saw him tweet was when he, I think it was before he was in office even. I think he was still on the campaign trail. He said something about the wall, and he was like, the tweet back was like, hey, at Donald Trump, you're fucking wrong if you think we're going to pay for your shitty wall. And I was like, yeah. Wait, this has to be a parody account. I was
no,
really him. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, he's been on him from day one. Yeah, and spectacularly well, too.
Spectacularly, yeah. So find that video. It is worth the 5 minutes to watch it. I was laughing out loud. It is a good one.
Oh, do we have a second for Ted Cruz's porn fiesta?
Oh, yes. How did we even forget that? Okay, so here's what happened. I woke up and I look at Twitter and everybody's talking about Ted Cruz, but no one's saying what, just that a thing happened. And the array of photos and GIFs being used to illustrate were making me laugh so hard. I was like, at this point, I kind of don't care what he did. I'm just enjoying all of these people. There was like a lot of Free Willy things and a lot of like whales jumping around. There was a lot of dolphins doing tricks. There was a lot of people with glitter cannons and t-shirt cannons and just firing shit. There are people shooting things in the air, and I was like, I cannot wait to find out what he's done.
And it was better than you could have hoped.
And it was better than I could have hoped. Oh,
liking some porn on the old Twitter account.
Yeah, liking some porn.
Which, you know what? Hey,
get you some porn, buddy. Do it.
As somebody pointed out, it's probably like the least bad thing he's done
right.
In terms of his, you know, Ted Cruz. But at the same time, you know, when you're that self-righteous.
Right. It's that.
You tried to ban dildos at one point or something like
that. Oh, yeah, that's right. He did. See, come on, bro.
Yeah. And here he is with some, I don't know. You know, it wasn't like super. I didn't actually watch the video, but the picture. I didn't watch the video, he says. Of course you didn't, Rex.
I'm watching this for research.
Yes.
I write about politics.
Yes. I write about porn and tics. Politics. but, you know, it's like there's two women and one dude, and I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it wasn't like, you know, there, at least there wasn't like a horse and a, you know, something weird. But a lot of people said they thought there'd be more clowns involved.
Totally. Yes. Well, yeah, it's like, who gives a shit if you watch porn or have like a dungeon in your house or like do your thing, man, whatever.
Right.
But it's when you make such a point of being so like, let me tell you how totally fucking vanilla I am and how super no sexy times are happening in my house. Like those are the people that when you hear that they like have a leather bunny suit and they're caught like chained up to some shit, then you're like, I told you, like those, it's delightful to hear people like that, to be caught with the freak flag flying because they've made such a point of like how fucking wholesome and non-sexual they are.
Sure. And they've done all manner of harm in terms of denouncing, you know, gay people, transgender people, all this sort of stuff. And then, hey, look, here's this. The best thing was that people kept tweeting, like you said, like photos of him. Like, and somebody was like, every photo of Ted Cruz looks like he just got caught masturbating. which, if you look, is absolutely correct.
It's absolutely true. That's awesome. I hadn't thought of that, but that is very true. And that's a thing with like people that are so like that minister dude in Houston we were talking about last week with the megachurch, Austin, whatever.
Austin, yeah.
Like that guy is so much just talking about like. Like, because sometimes you're flipping channels and you see that guy's super crazy service and you're like, who the fuck is this guy? What is he talking about? Why has this man got a football stadium? Oh, that's a church. Oh, my God. And you'll just catch like a snippet of something he says, like something's so there. I remember one time hearing something about he said about his wife and he was like, you know, whatever her name is, Victoria, I think. Victoria and I have a loving relationship because we invite, you know, Christ into our marriage. And I'm like,
That sounds weird, dude.
That sounds weird, but also, which is like, and if you're, you know, if you're into JC, hey, do your thing and, you know, whatever. But it's like, the more people are talking about like how Jesus-y they are in the bedroom, mm-hmm. I think like those are the people that have got like a stash of some weird shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And if you were just like, hey, you know, my old lady and I are into all the things. Nobody would give a shit.
Right, exactly.
Not one person would give a shit at all. But if you're like, we have a very wholesome missionary only on Wednesday ever kind of marriage, then,
right, yeah.
then as soon as you're caught with like a fucking eight-headed dildo, then people are like, yes!
Right? Do they make them with eight?
I don't know.
My goodness. It's like an octopus dildo. That's not a dildo. It's a rubber octopus. Or an arachnid of some sort.
An arachnid, right. If that doesn't exist, that should be the brand name.
The arachnidildo.
We're leaving journalism to make sex toys. To make insect-based sex toys. Yes. Done. We'd probably make a whole hell of a lot more money and get a lot less grief from people.
A lot, yes. Even the Yelp reviews would generally be positive, I think.
If we go into the sex toy industry, I think that anytime we have some kind of super righteous political pundit talking about any kind of sexual activity being bad, I think they get a free dildo.
Yes, you get a free... Yes. We're going to send you the octopus dildo and...
And the arachnid 2000.
Yes, exactly. And you and your...
Dying right now.
Oh, God. You and your staff have fun.
You and seven of your friends, you do you.
Which is the other thing with Cruz is that he blamed it on a staff. You know, that's what's the worst about that is that some poor lowly staff
intern is like,
is gonna get shit canned for.
I haven't even like used your Twitter password. Yeah. God, it's my first day.
Yeah, right.
I gotta Google spider dildo.
Oh, God.
Right, I'm doing this on WGN Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, goof
research.
Fired.
Yeah, exactly.
don't Google that, kids.
Okay, there we go.
Don't Google it.
It's a family-friendly show. Come on.
Not really. Not even a little bit. But anyway, we're out of time. So we're going to look into a side hustle in the sex toy industry.
Whoop.
Whatever.
Thanks, Ted Cruz.
Sure. Thanks for that
idea,
Ted Cruz.
You inspired us.
Good times. Maybe we'll even name it after him. Yeah. Ted Cruz the Spider, a legged dildo.
www.tedcruzdildos.net.
If that one of us needs to buy that in the next 24 hours. All right. Well, this has been another fine episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We shall see you next time.